having looked at the lament and the petition of this great psalm, this Christological psalm, we come now to what we call the declaration of praise, in which the psalmist is going to praise the Lord for the anticipated deliverance. Notice in verse 23, it reads, Asapra shemcha le'achai, betok kahal ahalecha. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Asapra, notice, is from safar, the root to declare, and we have a hatef pathak, a hurried pathak under the olive, followed by a pathak, an A-class vowel. So we have a composite shava followed by pathak, doubling of the middle radical in the pe, that gives it away as a PL imperfect, first person singular. So I will declare your name, Shemcha. Notice Shem means name, and Ha is a pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So I will declare your name to my brethren. Le'achai. The Lamed then is the inseparable Lamed preposition, followed by the plural ech chai in brethren, from achim becoming echai. And notice the I is the pronominal suffix, first common singular. So I will declare your name to my brethren, betoch kahal, in the midst of the assembly. Notice the bet, again, is that inseparable use of the bait. And then we have the noun, tok kahal, in the midst of the assembly. Two nouns in construct. Kahal is also a noun. And so we have two nouns in construct. In the midst of the assembly, ahalecha, I will praise you. Notice ahalecha is from ahal, to praise. Again, it is a PL imperfect, first common singular with the aleph prefix, from halal, to praise, followed by the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular in the cha. So in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. What a beautiful anticipation of declaring the name of the Lord and the deliverance that He has brought. And as we look at this, David is anticipating deliverance, but the ultimate deliverance is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we look at this great text, I'm reminded of the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, in which the writer is showing the resurrection of Christ, and after quoting Psalm 8, he then quotes this text. If I could just read through the text briefly. For not to angels, verse 5 of Hebrews 2, did he subject the earth about to be inhabited, concerning which we are speaking. But a certain one testified, saying somewhere, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have placed all things under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he has left nothing that is not subjected. For now we do not see all things subjected to him, but we see Jesus, having been made a little lower than the angels on account of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death on behalf of all. Notice the quote from Psalm 8 of the fulfillment of this text in the Lord, the second Adam, who was made a little lower than the angels in the incarnation on account of the suffering of death. Now he's crowned with glory and honor, and all things are subjected unto him. But then the writer of Hebrews goes on and says, for it was fitting for him on account of whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to perfect the archegon, the pathfinder of their salvation through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies, and they who are being sanctified, are all out of one. On account of which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, Now we have the quote from Psalm 22 that we've been looking at. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will praise you. We're looking at the resurrection. The one who sanctifies is Jesus. Those who are being set apart were one with him via the resurrection. And he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. And he's declaring the name of the Lord to the apostles after the resurrection. And the writer of Hebrews is quoting this. And furthermore, like Isaiah and his children, we are one with Christ, waiting the great salvation that he brings at his second coming. Notice in verse 13, and again, I will be confident in him, in Hebrews, and again, behold, I am the children which God has given me. This is a quote from Hebrews 8, in which Isaiah and his children were signs of deliverance that would come when the Lord would deliver the children of Israel from the invasion of Pekah and Rezin of the northern kingdom in Syria, and the ultimate deliverance from Assyria. But then he goes on, and he's likening this now to Christ and to the church that have been delivered from death itself and the victory over death. Notice he goes on to say, therefore, since the children participated in flesh and blood, he likewise partook of the same, that is, Jesus, in order that through death, which is what he's now accomplished in fulfilling Psalm 22, he might void the one who is having the power of death, that is, the devil. And he defeats the devil by conquering death, and he might reconcile them, as many as were in the fear of death continually and were liable to that bondage while they were living. For not, of course, is he helping the seed, helping angels, but he is helping the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, it was necessary for him, according to all things, to be made like to the brethren, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest, with reference to the things of God, to make satisfaction for the sins of the people, for in which, having suffered, he, being tempted, is able to help those who are being tested. Notice this great text of Psalm 22 is quoted here and applied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in which now we as believers are one with him. And he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. And he praises the name of his Father, not only in the midst of the apostles after the resurrection, but later on for days before his ascension into heaven. And we're part of that victory. He has become our archegon, our pathfinder. I'm reminded of this verse of a sermon that was preached one time in which the preacher, it was on Good Friday, kept saying, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And he would preach a little bit more. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. He would talk about the crowds around the cross mocking and laughing. But he said, remember, it's only Friday, but Sunday's coming. And he went on like this, I understand, for about an hour. And finally, he said, it's Friday, and the whole congregation stood up and shouted back, but Sunday's coming. I would like to say, when we look at this verse, Sunday has come. We have seen Friday in the preceding verses, and now in this declaration of praise, we are looking at the victory that Christ has brought after the cross in the resurrection. There was was a piece of artistry that I heard about in which Faust was playing chess with the devil, and it looked like he was checkmated. And all of a sudden, a person looking at that painting shouted out and said, "But Faust has one more move." And I would like to say, it looked like Jesus was checkmated, but there was one more move, and that one more move was the resurrection. And so I believe from this point on, we're looking at the victory not only of David and his deliverance, but the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the results of that. And so we go on in verse 24, when he says, Yere Adonai Hallelujah, Kozera Yaakov Kabaduhu. Those who fear the Lord, fears of the Lord. Notice Yere is an adjective. Notice the Tseruyot puts it in the plural construct with Adonai. So the fearers, those who are fearing ones of the Lord, praise Him. Hallelujah. Notice Hallelujah is from Halal. It is a PL imperative, second person plural, with a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, in the who. So those who fear the Lord, praise Him. Kol Zera Yaakov, all the seed of Jacob. Notice Zera is a noun in construct again with Yaakov, Jacob. So all the seed, the totality of the seed of Jacob. Again, we have nouns in construct. Kabaduhu, laud or glorify Him. Notice kabaduhu is from the root kavad, to glorify, or kaved, to glorify. And notice it is a PL imperative, a second person plural from kavad, or kaved, to glorify, followed by hu, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. The guru mimenu kozera Yisrael, and stand in awe at Him. Guru is a cow imperative second person plural, from gur, to stand in awe, or gur, so stand in awe at Him, or from Him. Mimenu becomes mimenu, where the noon of the men has assimilated into the mim by progressive assimilation, causing the doggish forte. N is a hinge, and N who historically was there, where the who, the third person pronominal suffix, the hey part of that, by reverse assimilation went back into the noon, causing a doggish forte. So men who becomes mimenu. In other words, stand in awe from Him, all seed of Israel. Again, notice Zera is the noun in construct with Yisrael, the noun. So now, all who fear the Lord, meaning all the seed of Jacob, is to glorify Him. And all the seed of Israel, parallelism, synonymous parallelism here, is to stand in awe before Him. And then he gives the reason in verse 25, Ki lo vaza velo shikats anut ani velo histir panam mimenu. U veshava u bashava o elav shamea. For He is not despised nor abhorred the affliction or the lowliness of the afflicted one or of the poor. He did not hide His face from him, but when He cried unto Him, He heard him. Again, we have the conjunction ki, followed by the negative particle not, lo, and vaza is just your cow perfect, third masculine singular, from this lamed he verb, from baza, to despise. Velo shikats. Notice again the conjunction vav with the lo, the negative particle, followed by the PL, perfect, third masculine singular, from shakats, to abhor, that he did not abhor the lowliness. Anut means lowliness of the poor. Ani is a noun meaning poor. So he did not, or afflicted one possibly here, he did not despise or abhor the lowliness of the poor. Velo histir panam mimenu, nor did he hide his face from him. Notice again, the vav is the conjunction, followed by the negative particle, and the histir is just your hifil, perfect, third masculine singular, from satar, to hide. So he did not hide his face. Panayim is the noun for face, but in construct it becomes panai, and then with the vav, so we have a noun plural or dual that is now plural in construct with the final vav, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So he did not hide his face from him. Here we have that men who again becoming menu. And but when he cried, uveshavo unto him, he heard him. Notice the ve is your preposition, and it's a temporal use of the bait here, when, and shavoa in his crying. Here we have a PL infinitive construct with a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. And it's a temporal use of this infinitive construct with the bait. So when he cried unto him, the preposition el followed by the pronoun vav, unto him, shamea, he heard. Shamea, again, is just your kal, perfect, third masculine singular, from shama, to hear. So the Lord did not despise nor abhor the lowliness of the poor, David, in his suffering. The greater David upon the cross in the affliction that he was going through, he did not hide his face from him, that is, the Father. But when he cried, he was heard. And we know that he was heard in the resurrection, that the Father answered the prayer of Christ in a better way and in better timing. Had he taken him down from the cross, we would not have a redemption that we hear about in Isaiah 53. So he went through that atoning work, but he was heard after the victory of that atonement in the resurrection, in the victorious resurrection. So we go on in verse 26. Notice the psalmist writes, Me'itacha tehilati bekaharab, nedarai ashalem neged yereav. From you is my praise in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. Notice, me'itcha, me is the preposition from. Again, the noon could not assimilate into the aleph, so we have compensatory lengthening. From a hirik to a tseri, under the mem, but from you, itcha, is the pronoun, objective, personal pronoun, from you, tehilati. From you is my praise. Tehila is the noun for praise, and it becomes in construct in tehilat with the pronominal suffix, first common singular in the e. So from you is my praise, bekaharab, in the great assembly. Notice kahal is a noun meaning congregation or assembly, and rab is an adjective meaning great. So my praise is from you in the great assembly. Nedarai ashalem neged yereav, my vows. And neder is the noun for vow, Again, we have a plural noun in construct here with I, the pronominal suffix, first common singular. I will pay, ashalem, is from shalom, or shalem, to pay. Notice it's a PL, or PL imperfect, first person singular from shalem, with that shava, that hatef pathak, or that hurried hatef pathak, with an A vowel. So you have a composite shava and an A category vowel and doubling of the lamed, which indicates appeal. So I will pay my vows neged yereab, before the ones who fear him, before the fearing ones of him. Notice neged is the preposition, and yare is to fear, and here it's an adjective plural with the vav, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So David says, I'm going to go into the great assembly, and I'm going to pay my vows. I'm going to fulfill what I promise, to pay my vows in a public way of thanksgiving. And again, we see the Lord going before the disciples and the outpouring of Pentecost, where the Lord's name is being praised in the great assembly. And basically, it's his sacrifice that represents the vows that he is going, that he has already paid by virtue of his deliverance that he's brought for us. Not my will, but yours be done. And in that willingness to do that, he gave as a neder, as a vow, his own willingness to do the Father's will in sacrifice. And then the humble are to eat and be satisfied. Yochalu anavim v'yisbahu. Yechalalu Adonai dorashav. Yehi levavchem la'ad. Let the humble eat and be satisfied. Notice yochalu is from achal, to eat. It is a imperfect, third, a cow imperfect, and we could really say jussive, because it's a command, a cow imperfect jussive, third common plural from achal. Notice you have your O class vowel after the yod instead of an I class. Instead of yishmor, we have yochal, yochalu. And that's probably because of a historical dissimilation that occurs at some point in the process of change from possibly an E-class vowel to an O by dissimilation. And you find these in all of your pay aleph verbs that begin with an aleph, like vayomer in Genesis 1, repeatedly seen. So the O-class vowel appears throughout these pay aleph or first aleph verbs. So let the humble eat. Anavim is from anav, meaning humble, and here we have it in the plural. Let the humble eat, the humble ones, we could say, an adjective plural, v'yisbahu, and be satisfied. Sabah means to satisfy. Here we have a cow imperfect, third common plural from sabah, with a vav conjunction, and be satisfied. And then, let them praise Yehallelu Adonai Dorashav. Let them praise the Lord that seek him. Notice Yehallelu is from halal, to praise. Again, it is a PL with a Shiva Pathak imperfect / Jasib, third common plural from halal. So let them praise the Lord who are seeking him. Notice Dorshav is from Darash, to seek. It has an O-class vowel. And we're looking here at a plural from them that seek him, a plural participial form with an O-class vowel, cal, followed by the pronominal suffix bob. So let those that seek him, that is, who seek the Lord, praise him. Yehi levavchem la'ad, may your heart be quickened forever. Yehi is from the root yaha, to be, and notice again, it is a cal imperfect slice jussive, or a cal jussive, third masculine singular from haya, a lamed hey verb, where the hay has alighted or dropped out. So, let your heart praise, or let your heart, I should say, be quickened, la'ad, meaning forever. Here we have an adverb going with the verb forever. Levav chem is from levav, meaning heart, and notice chem is your pronominal suffix, second masculine plural. So let your heart, and now we have sort of a collective idea in the singular, let your heart be quickened forever. So he's calling the humble to come and be satisfied. Those who are willing to humble themselves and praise the Lord and seek after him. And as a result, there's a quickening of the heart. I might say that in applying this to the New Testament, we need to have a humble heart and come before the Lord. Just like back then, the humble were to come and praise with David his deliverance. So, to come before the Lord, we must be like children and come in a humble way and praise the Lord by seeking after him, by wanting his great deliverance that he has brought. And the result is going to be a quickening of our hearts, a new birth, a new life, a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. But then he invites not only the faithful Israelites who would respond, but all the ends of the earth to come. Notice, Yizkaru v'yashavu el Adonai kol afsei aretz v'yishtachavu lifanecha kol mishpachot goyim. Notice he says, all the ends of the earth shall remember and shall return unto the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before him. Notice Yizkaru is from Zakar, or Zachar, to remember. And here we have a cal imperfect third common plural from Zachar. So, unto the Lord, all nations, or all ends of the earth, shall remember, v'yashuvu, and shall return. V'yashuvu is from shuv, meaning to return. Here we have a cal imperfect, third common plural from shuv, and shall return, with a simple vav conjunction. Unto the Lord. So this is going to be worldwide. Not only are we looking at David now, but at the greater David, Christ, our Lord. Because of his victory, all ends of the earth are now to come and will turn to him from every nation, every tribe. Notice, kol afsei aretz, all the ephes would be ends, and here it's in a plural noun in construct, with the Tzer Yod, Aretz is the noun meaning earth. So all ends of the earth will remember and will turn to the Lord, and all families of the earth will worship. Notice, V'yishtachavu is a verb that means to worship, from Shachach, to worship. It is a hifil, or excuse me, it's a hitpael. It's a hitpael imperfect third common plural from shachach, a final hay where the hay has dropped out and elided, and that final vav appears. These perhaps were either lamed yod or lamed vav forms at one time. And notice we have a metathesis where the sheen is changing places with the tav. Instead of yit shachavu, it's yishtachavu. And yet this kind of metathesis sometimes occurs in that context where we have this exchange of the tav of the hitpael with the first consonant of the root. So yishtachavu would be let all the kingdoms of the nations show worship before him. Notice lefanecha, again we have the preposition lifne becoming lefanecha with the pronominal suffix cha, second masculine singular. So all families, kol, the totality of families. Notice mishpachot is from mishpach, meaning family, and ot puts it in the plural. It's a feminine plural ending. So all families of the goyim, again a plural noun, feminine plural noun in construct with goyim, a masculine plural noun from goy. So all families of the earth shall worship before him. I'm reminded of Genesis 12, verse 3, in which the book of Genesis in the Abrahamic promise and covenant promises that in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Bacha yivrachu ko mishpachot ha'adama. All families of the earth shall be blessed in you. It is interesting that this ultimate fulfillment in Galatians chapter 3 is seen in Jesus Christ, that he fulfills the Abrahamic covenant, that in him all nations are blessed. And I'm reminded in Revelation chapter 5, out of every tribe and nation and people, they've been redeemed by the Lamb, and they're standing and worshiping before the throne of the Lord. And so I believe this great psalm is anticipating the fulfillment of Genesis 12:3, the Abrahamic covenant, in what Christ accomplishes by his death upon the cross. And so as we go on then, Ki la'Adonai ha'melucha u'moshel bagoyim. For to the Lord is the kingdom. Notice ki is the conjunction followed by to the Lord, the inseparable preposition with yod, hey, vav, hey. And then the definite article ha and melucha means kingdom. So belonging to the Lord is the kingdom, u'moshel bagoyim, and he is ruler over the nations. Notice u is just your conjunction followed by moshel, the one who rules. Here we have a cal active participle with an O tsedri vowel pattern, holim tsedri, who and he is the ruler or the one who rules over the nations. Ba is the preposition rendered over here, and goyim is the noun masculine plural from goy or nations. So the Lord has the kingdom now, and he rules over the nations. And I'm reminded of how Jesus, in its ultimate fulfillment, is Lord. Not only are we looking at the Lord's great rule by showing victory in David's plight, but now the greater David and the victory that has been shown has exalted him to be the ruler over the nations, equal with God the Father, both sharing full deity together. And it is interesting that in the Psalm 2, Messiah will shepherd the nations with an iron scepter. In Revelation 19, Christ returns as Melech Melechim, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he rules over the nations because of the victory that was wrought in his divine sacrifice and resurrection. So the God-man, the second person of the Holy Trinity, as fully God and resurrected man, perfect man, is going to rule over all nations and continues to do that, really, from his throne in heaven, and will do it at his second advent in its final form. And then we move on to verse 30, where he invites all to join in this celebration. Achlu v'yishtachavu kol dishnei eretz. Lefanav yekro'u kol yoredei afar. V'nafsho lo chiya. Notice, all the fat ones of the earth shall eat and worship. All that go down to the dust shall bow, yekra'u, before him. Even the one, even he that cannot keep alive his soul. Notice, achalu is the cow perfect, third common, third masculine or common plural from achal. So they eat, vayishtachavu, and worship. Notice vayishtachavu, again, is from shacheh, a final lamed hay form, where now we see the vav, probably the historical use of yacheh, and we have again a hitpael, imperfect, third common plural from shacheh with a vav conversive or a vav consecutive. So eat and worship. Again, we see that metathesis from yit shachavu to yish tachavu between the sheen and the top. And all the fat ones of the earth, kol, the preposition, the totality of the fat ones, dashne, notice deshen, meaning fat. Here we have a plural noun in construct with eretz. All the fat ones of the earth, deshne, lifanav, before him, we have the preposition before, lifne, becoming lifanav with the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular in the vav. Before him shall kneel down. Notice yechruchu from karah, to kneel down. Cow imperfect, third common plural from karah. Kol yoredei afar. All the ones who go down to dust. Notice yoredei is from yarad, to go down. It's a cow participle, masculine plural with the tseriyot, in construct with afar, meaning dust, which should be everybody. So all who go down to the dust are to bow before him, before the Lord, before the Father, and before the victorious Son of God, and even he that cannot keep his soul alive. Ve is just the conjunction, and nafsho is from nefesh, but in construct it becomes nafsh, and the O is the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, and his soul, lo chiya, he cannot keep alive. Notice lo is the negative particle not, chiya is from the root chaya, to keep alive. It is the PL perfect, third person singular, masculine singular from chaya. Notice the I-class vowel, the doubling of the middle radical in the yod, and so we have a PL perfect, third masculine singular. So, everybody fits this category who cannot keep his soul alive is to bow down before the one who has conquered death, the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship before Him and the victory that He has wrought and brought. So then in 31, he continues, Zera ya'avdenu yesupar le'adonai lador. A seed will serve him. Notice, Zera is just a noun meaning seed, and ya'avdenu is from the root avad, to serve. Here we have a cow imperfect, third masculine singular from avad, with a pronominal suffix in the u. It historically would have been yav, yav den hu, with the final he by reverse assimilation going back into the nun, causing the doubling or the doggish forte. And the n is simply a hinge to get us to the who. So a seed will serve him. Yesupar le'adonai l'ador. It shall be told to the Lord, to the next generation, to a generation. It shall be told, we could say, concerning the Lord unto the next generation. Notice Yesupar is from the root safar, and it's a PL, imperfect, third masculine singular from safar. Notice the shiva and the kibbutz and the doubling of the middle radical in the pay. So it shall be told to the Lord, Adonai, or we could say concerning the Lord, Lador, unto a generation. In other words, one generation after another is going to see this great praise that will come as a result of the victory, not only of David and his deliverance, but of the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his deliverance via the resurrection. It'll be told from one generation to another, the psalmist is saying. And then, finally, in 32, the psalm concludes, Yavohu v'yagidu Zidkato la'am nolad ki asa. They shall come, and they shall declare his righteousness to a people that is to be born, that he has done it. Notice, Yavohu is the cow imperfect, third masculine or common plural from bo, meaning to come. Vayagidu, and the vav here is just your conjunction, simple conjunction, followed by the verb yagidu. Yagidu is from the root nagad, a peinun verb, where the nun has assimilated into the gimel. Yangidu became yagidu with progressive assimilation of the nun into the gimel. And so, they shall come, and they shall cause to declare, it's a hifil being a causative stem, his righteousness, sidkato, is from tzedakah, meaning righteousness, and here it becomes sidkat, with a final tav in construct with the o, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. And righteousness here looks at deliverance, I believe. In other words, Zedekah has to do with deliverance. And we see the same idea, I think, in Romans 3, where Paul says, being justified freely by his grace through the deliverance, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul, in the whole book of Romans, builds his argument of deliverance around the noun dikaiosune, meaning righteousness. And it goes back to the Hebrew idea of tzedakah, which carries with it the idea of deliverance, as well as satisfaction of divine justice. And so here, it's the idea of deliverance. they shall come and declare his deliverance. La'am nolad, a people that will be born, that he has done it. Notice the lamed preposition here is inseparable with am, the noun meaning people, and nolad is from the root yalad, to give birth, and notice here we have nolad, who will be born. Here we have a nifal participle from yalad with the nun prefix and the commas between the lamed and the dalet. So it's a nifal participle, masculine singular, from yalad. And historically, it would have been walad, and so in this nifal participial form, it would have been nowlad becoming nolad. Again, that aw coalescing to a long o, a cholam vav. Ki, that, the conjunction, asa, that he has done it. Asa is just your cow perfect, third masculine singular from asa. And when we look at this, we cannot help but think of the words of Jesus, it is done, tetelestai, it has been completed. And this whole work of deliverance, not only of David, but ultimately of the final David, is the work of the Lord, who has accomplished a redemption for his people, a deliverance for his people. And this deliverance will be declared from generation to generation, that the Lord has done this, so that people that will be born after this first generation will continue the testimony of the Lord's deliverance, not only in David's case, but ultimately in the case of the greater David upon the cross. And this deliverance will be declared from generation to generation. And we're a part of that declaration as we continue to make his name known and to elevate Jesus Christ. Our great goal in life should be to preach Christ. One time Spurgeon, in his at the end of a sermon, ended it by saying, "Preach, preach, preach, preach Christ." And that's what we're to do. We're to elevate Jesus Christ. And this great text looks at the prayer of Christ upon the cross and the deliverance that the Lord, the Father, gives the Son by delivering him via the resurrection in a way, a much greater way than had he brought him down from the cross. For it was through death and his atoning work that he's ultimately delivered in the resurrection on our behalf, providing us with a righteousness, a victory over sin and death that we can herald from one generation to another.